David, I want you to turn your attention with me as you have the whole service, but the whole congregation, I hope you have the Word of God open to Acts chapter 6. And I just want to share those first seven verses and make just a few comments before we come to the time where our deacons, both active and inactive, and our honorary deacons and ordained ministers, we come and lay hands on you, my brother. Listen to these words, church. Acts chapter 6. In those days, as the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint, a need, by the Hellenistic Jews, these are Greek-speaking Jews, against the Hebraic Jews, that their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food and supplies. Then the 12 summoned the whole company of the disciples together and said, "It's not right for us to give up preaching about God to handle the financial matters. Therefore, my brothers, let us select seven from among you that are of good reputation. They are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we can appoint to this duty. And we will devote ourselves to prayer and the preaching, the proclamation of the Word of God." Well, this proposal pleased the whole company, so they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, and had them stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid hands on them. And so the preaching of God flourished, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem multiplied greatly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. And folks, this word service, the word that we translate service in the Greek, is the title of this message, and it is pronounced diakonos, deacon, servant. But the word is always used in the connotation of the servant. In particular, the best way to describe it is a waiter of tables. He's the maitre d'. He's the guy with the towel on his arm that you see that takes care of your every need at a restaurant. He is the person that totally exists in his calling to serve you. He's the diakonos, the waiter of tables. So folks, this morning I just want to share with you the six things about these verses right here. And here is the first thing that I want, David, you to see, and I want all of us to see. There's no outline for you this morning. I just simply have written them down. And here's the first one. The first men chosen as deacons were committed disciples of the Lord. Period. These 12 are the original 11. And then Matthias, who was chosen to replace Judas Iscariot, remember that? You can go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 26. The 12 called the multitude of the disciples together, the church, in order to elect these men to serve. We've done that. The church elected, put their confidence, David, in you to be one of their deacons. But they had the list of scriptural requirements and requirements of this church together, and you met those, you have lived those in front of this church. And as those first men chosen were sold out, committed disciples of the Lord, so is the deacon today. And that's why you sit in the spot that you sit in today. The second thing I want to tell you about these verses and about the deacons, these first men were chosen to meet a need in the church. They were servant. If you want to be a leader, you be a servant. That's how it happens. In corporate America, leaders are those who give out the rules and the regulations, who are the bosses, yes. But those who genuinely lead, even in corporate America, they know this biblical concept. Leadership without service is not leadership. If you want to be a leader, David, if you want to be the leader that these folks have called down and asked you to serve and God wants you to be, you got to first be the least of these, my brother. You got to be a servant. And be willing to put on the towel of service and to serve the tables of these folks. It's very scriptural, very scriptural. These first deacons were chosen to meet a need. There was this complaint going against the Greek and Hebrew-speaking Jews and coming together, and there was a daily distribution of supplies, in particular food and the things that were needed, and that the Hellenists were complaining against the others, and there was a need that had to be met. So the disciples got together and said, how do we meet this need? And under God, let's choose seven men of specific character and integrity, and let's let them do that work and take care of that work. But as for us, let's make sure we devote ourselves to prayer and the preaching of the word. So these first men were committed disciples. These first men chosen were chosen to meet a need. But in the third place, they were chosen because of their specific spiritual qualifications. When I sent, the deacon body sent that letter to you, it had all the scriptural qualifications that the Bible teaches, in particular right here in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. The Bible says, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. That's one, not two. Full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. What's it mean to have a good reputation? Exactly what it says. You are well attested. You're well loved, you're well reported, you have a good witness, you live out your faith, you are a soul winner, you lead people to Jesus Christ, and that is evident in your life. You are a man of integrity, you are gentle, you are trustworthy, you are moral, you are upright, and you are trusted by the congregation. Without fulfilling those requirements, the Bible says, shouldn't be a deacon. Just that simple. You are a man of good reputation. The folks have watched David over these years, and they've obviously seen that. The body of deacons, these men who added to that list and listed those men that served, and then you consented to serve after others were contacted, and you consented back to us and let us know you believe God wanted you to serve, then God has brought you to this point because of those spiritual qualifications that you possess. You're a man of good, honest report, the Bible says. Good reputation. But in addition, it says two other things. You are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. In other words, the deacon is conscious of Christ dwelling in him. The word full means to be complete. It means to be completely covered over. It's actually a picture there, David, of the atoning blood of Jesus Christ that you all hear me say, we are covered from the top of our head to what? The bottom of the soles of our feet. You are covered in the Holy Spirit. But even one step farther, you have the wisdom. The Sophia in the Greek. That's not knowledge from the standpoint of all this incredible knowledge that we can have. It is wisdom. And it's only given by God to the believer. It's godly wisdom. It's wisdom that can think when all the world is falling apart around you. It's wisdom that can look at and see God's dream, not my dream. It's wisdom that can discern what God is saying through the power of his word. So when those 12 got together, let's seek out from among us seven men of good report and full of the Holy Spirit and Sophia, wisdom, wise. Tell you what, folks, oh, that we could have that constant wisdom, folks, the wisdom. This world wouldn't have any problems if we had that kind of wisdom. But the deacon, he's to strive for that. And then there's a fourth thing. These men, according to verse 4, were chosen for an intentional purpose. They allowed the apostles, those ministers, those ordained guys, to give their lives to prayer and the ministry of the word of God. Let me tell you something, folks, as a church, you already know this. My first and foremost, what I must do as pastor of this church is to preach the word of God. Amen. Period.
Amen.
more than anything else I do, more than visiting the hospitals, more than visiting in the homes, more than doing what I do administratively, whatever, the most important task that you called me to do, the number one task that should take at least 80% of my time should be preaching of the Word of God and prayer.
Amen.
Our pulpits could transform the United States of America if our churches allowed our pastors to get more into the Word of God and prayer. See, the older I get, I believe prayer is an attitude of the heart. We bump our gums a lot to God, and that's wonderful. Thank you, Lord, you've given us the privilege to share that. But prayer, folks, doesn't originate from right here. It originates from right here. And there's a big difference. So many times, we don't know what to pray, David. We don't know what to say. We don't even know what to ask God for. What's the Bible say to do? Depend on Jesus. He intercedes for us. He even voices that prayer, the Bible says, for you and me. Those deacons were to come alongside their pastor, to come alongside those apostles and say, look, guys, I want you studying the Word of God. Because when you stand to preach the Word of God, I want you to be prayed up, studied up, and ready to preach it like never, ever, ever before. I promised this church the day I walked in here, and I have kept that promise and will continue to be that promise. There will never be a day goes by in the life of this little guy that he's not prepared to stand in this holy place to preach the Word of God. Because God will judge me for that. God will judge you, David, and all these other deacons, for the very fact that you're a deacon. God's put you in another category now. And I don't mean a hierarchy here, ladies and gentlemen. I just mean God has put him and all these deacons in the aspect of a servanthood. Greater responsibility. And because of that greater responsibility, we're under a stricter judgment of God as well. Then in the fifth place, in verses 5 and 6, there was that first ordination. The church set him apart. I said that when I came in this morning. I told you all. We've come to set David apart. But now, we do that physically on this earth. But more important than anything we can do, God's doing it in heaven. You're set apart in heaven. I can't explain that. I can't figure it out. The Bible says that God's ways is much higher than our ways in the book of Isaiah. He thinks the infinite, thinks on a completely, we can't understand. We only think between birth and death. We can't think before birth or after death. God hasn't given us that privilege. There are things, folks, that nobody on this earth is ever going to be able to figure out. But let me tell you something, folks. God says, I will set you apart, David. Some way, somehow, God in heaven at this moment, because the body of Christ has come together, is now setting you apart in heaven to be the servant God's called you to be here. You know, the Bible says, Doug, that over one sinner that repents, the angels in heaven rejoice. I think when a deacon is fulfilling the call that God's put on his life and the church has called him to do, I think the angels are rejoicing in heaven at this very moment. Because David Harrison is being ordained by God's church to serve God in that capacity. Wow. What an honor. What an honor. God has set you apart. And then there's one final thing I want to show you. It's found in verse 7. Look what happened to the church when these men were faithful. There were fruitful results as a result of their ministry. Listen, then the word of God spread and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And many, many of the priests were obedient to the faith. In other words, simple. Randy, you do, God says to Randy, Randy, you do what I tell you to do, and you follow my book, and you follow my instruction, and the end result is that I'm going to get the glory, and results will happen. But boy, we have our way, don't we? Instead of following the way God, we try to figure it out, we can do it better. Oh, David, I challenge you, my brother, don't ever, ever get ahead of God.
Amen, brother.
You are Karen Bowie. Sometimes people may interpret you as being slow, as not acting. That's okay. You're not out to please them. I'm not out to please these folks. I'm out to please one person, God Almighty. And I wait till I hear from him. And God may speak through one of these folks. God may speak through his word to me. God is going to find a way to communicate to us exactly what he wants us to do. Why? Because he says, right where he says, and the word of God spread. That's not human, folks. That's God. Wow. What a responsibility for deacons to come to the point that we are right here today. Did you know what those guys did? Anytime in Scripture that there was a blessing that was offered, you will watch those 12 and others, you will see laying on of hands. And folks, when they laid the hands on the people, there wasn't any thunder, the ground didn't shake, nothing happened like that. But what did happen was they fulfilled the promise of God. It was such an encouragement. I bet you could ask every deacon in this house this question. What was the most incredible moment of the time that you were ordained? And they will tell you, when my fellow deacons and ministers came by and laid their hands on me and just asked God to bless me. Guys, would you agree? Am I saying right?
That's right.
See, they're all doing this. Every one of them shaking their hand. Because that's it. It's a blessing. I used to sit in this congregation as a kid, and when we would ordain deacons and whatever, and I always wondered, I was real young then, 6, 7 years old, and I would say, what are they saying? Is there some kind of formula they're repeating? No, folks, they're just praying. They're just asking God to bless David and Karen. They're asking God to lift him up as a deacon, to hold him tightly. They're asking God for his protection with his life. They're blessing him. What a privilege. Now, I know it says the laying on of hands, deacons and congregation. This is only for ordained deacons, both active and inactive and our honorary deacons. It's for other ministers, ordained ministers in our congregation. If you are of an evangelical faith, in particular Southern Baptist, we want you to come and be a part of this in just a minute. But it's a time where we men, and you participate with us that are not ordained like that, by just simply sitting in the pew, because you are witnessing what is happening at this moment. It's a very holy time. It's a very beautiful time. And it's a time of blessing. David, I want you to come. Deacons and ministers, come to my left. Would you begin making line right here? Would you? We're going to come across here. Again, all of our deacons, active, inactive, and our honorary deacons, any ordained ministers and others, I want you to come as well. And David, you just sit right here. It's much easier, trust me, when it's all over with, that you're sitting. You'll like that as well. Karen, come stand behind him. And these men are going to come and just lay hands. And as you witness this experience this morning, will you pray for David? In other words, every man that lays hands on these two in an act of blessing, will you just pray for this man? Because let me tell you what, I told you that he's judged with a stricter judgment of God, but he's just incited hell. Do you know who's going to be after him?
Yeah.
And Karen, even more?
Yeah.
You better believe it. Satan himself. And I want you all, as these men come down in your heart, just ask God to protect him, to hold him tightly, to lift both of them up. And you pray your own prayer of blessing as these men come and we have this privilege to lay hands on him.